It's tempting to want to make awareness into something concrete. And it's alien to the way we've trained our perception to rely on short moments of awareness. And know that increasingly that will give us everything we've ever wanted. And so if we're able to enjoy short moments of awareness much of the time, then when we don't feel that we are aware, we might tend to intrude on that with all kinds of philosophical injunctions that we've learned. Like, is this this, or is that that, or am I really in awareness? Or if everything is awareness, why don't I feel like it is awareness? Do you see what I'm saying? But all the while, these are just points of view. Now, in one brief moment of awareness, the first brief moment of awareness is pervaded by a mood of bliss, an instinctive mood of bliss. And this is what affirms for us the fundamental condition of our nature. The reason that we're attracted to awareness again and again is that it contains this mood of bliss. Now, that mood of bliss is equal to every single perception. That mood of bliss is appearing in, as, and through every single perception. There are no special perceptions. No special perceptions whatsoever. No special points of view. This must be realized. And so, the key precept, the supreme precept, is short moments of awareness repeated many times until it becomes automatic or spontaneous and continuous. And in this way, it is realized increasingly that the mood of bliss does pervade all perceptions whatsoever. So it's as simple as that. Now, you have many, many years of intensive practice, doing all kinds of different practices, and you are a highly skilled meditator. I've seen you meditating. And so the pristine states of bliss that you've gotten yourself into in the past, or that you've enjoyed, or that you enjoy now, are the basis of everything. Everything else is arising in, of, as, and through that. But the only way you'll bring the two together, in other words, the meditative states that you've gotten into and the perceptions, is short moments many times. This will make the mood of bliss more and more obvious in every single perception. So when questions arise about what's going on in terms of awareness or other things you've learned, just treat all of those as points of view and continue to return to short moments of awareness repeated many times. And this is the answer to your question as well. A lot of times we don't notice that there is underlying fear or anxiety present all the time because we've been so wrapped up in all our points of view. But then when we begin to enjoy short moments of awareness, we become much more aware of the actual contents of our perception. And then we may notice underlying fear or anxiety. We may not. But for many people, they do notice an underlying fear or anxiety, and this is just another point of view. That fear and anxiety is there because we've trained ourselves to see things in a way that doesn't bring peace. It brings fear and anxiety. And so when we're constantly grappling for points of view and trying to make sense out of everything using descriptions, then that puts us in a state of fear and anxiety. It's just naturally so. So just keep it very simple. Awareness, pristine awareness, the all-encompassing pure view of awareness. All the points of view that appear within that pure view of awareness are appearances of that awareness and nothing else. Of all the points of view that appear ceaselessly and unpredictably, there are no special points of view. So even if you have special points of view that you really, really like, at some point you'll need to realize that all these are points of view. It doesn't mean you're adopting a nihilistic attitude or entering into some kind of impartial neutrality. On the contrary, by maintaining short moments of awareness, you open up more and more the mood of love and bliss and light in every perception. It's not a mood like an ordinary mood, good or bad mood. It isn't like that. It's the pervasive mood of reality. It's what you might call the feeling tone of reality, or the instinctive pleasure of reality. It's completely beyond all of the descriptions that we have for points of view. When we train ourselves to see everything in terms of points of view, then we engage in a process of wanting points of view. And then once we get them, we try to keep them, and then at some point we lose them. So we're in this constant tailspin all the time, related to every area of our life: money, food, sex, work, relationships, leisure, and anything else we pursue. We're just in a tailspin of points of view. Money. We want money. Then we get money. And then we try to keep the money. And then at some point we lose the money. This is true for everyone. Even if we're good at keeping the money, and we get a whole lot of money, when we die, we'll lose all our money. Even if we're leaving a lot of money, we're still losing it, you see. And so, and this is what we go through, too. Food is the same way. We want food. Oh, I want some food. And then I'm going to get it. And then I'm going to keep it. I'm going to eat as much as I can until I can't eat anymore. And then we might lose either our hunger for the food, or we might literally lose our food if we eat too much. But with sex, it's the same way. At some point in our lives, the sexual urge awakens, and we don't know anything about it because we don't really understand what the power of its energy is as the life force of connection and intimacy and compassion. We're never taught that. So we debase it by thinking it's something that means that we have to get together and have sex with someone else. And if that's all we know about sex, then our sexual nature, then we're going to spend our whole life either wanting sex or rejecting it, one of the two. And then when we want it, then we have to get it. And then once we get it, we have to keep it. You know, there's certain people we like to have sex with and others that we don't. And then at some point that'll come to an end too. And not only that, within the process of the whole sexual relationship, every single experience will never be what we want it to be. No matter how good it is, it will never be what we want it to be. And you all know what I'm talking about. And so then we think, okay, well, we've got to make it better. We've got to make it be what we want it to be. Well, guess what, folks? This misunderstanding of the sexual point of view just keeps us in this tailspin of never feeling quite fully satisfied. And I'll get back to that in a minute, because everybody likes to talk about sex. You know, when I say sex, everybody sits up in their chairs. All the people who haven't been listening or looking out the window, they're all riveted. And we could probably fill a stadium with 500,000 people if we just put sex up on the billboard. And so, and then it's this way too with all of the other parts of our life, work, relationships, and leisure activities. We want these points of view. Relationships, that's a good one. Somehow we think, well, you know, if we have a relationship, that's really going to solve our problems. Then we're going to feel good. We'll have someone else who agrees with our points of view. And then we'll have a happy little life together. But what we find is that, you know, during courtship or the whatever we call it, the first period of welcoming each other and coming together, all our points of view are somehow in sync. We have the same points of view. And this is what we call love. We have the same points of view, so we're in love. At last, I have someone who agrees with my points of view. Am I the luckiest person in the world or what? And then pretty soon we find out the other person really doesn't have that perfect fit with our points of view. They have their points of view, we have our points of view. And a lot of the time, never the twain shall meet. And so then we're in this position of wanting to get someone into our points of view and to agree with us and understand us. And the other person's doing the same thing, of course. Well, in this, there's no meeting or coming together. So we're in a daily tailspin then of wanting the relationship and getting it, trying to keep it and losing it. But this is going on all day long. We're in and out of this thing. We go through all these emotions and thoughts every single day in our relationships, where there's just a lot of points of view and a lot of upset. Isn't that the case? Even though we may not know how to talk about it or face up to it, this is really the nature of the way things are. And the same is true in work. Work, we're looking for that perfect job. Again, it's going to satisfy us. It's going to bring the great joy that we seek to life and satisfaction and fulfillment. And that, you know, never pans out either, because wherever we go, all our points of view go with us. And if we believe in these points of view, that's the nature of our dissatisfaction, the belief that these points of view have an independent nature. So we can have happiness in all these areas of our life. We can have complete happiness, but only by gaining confidence and awareness. That's the only way we can have everything we ever dreamt of or imagined. Now, the way to have everything we have ever dreamt of or imagined, it is located in awareness, because everything we've ever dreamt of or imagined, including ourselves, is a point of view within awareness. So you see, in order to get everything we want, it doesn't require any doing. It just requires relaxing in awareness for short moments, repeated many times. And the more we do so, the more the mood of bliss pervades our life, and the more the treasures of awareness reveal themselves, all the things we've struggled for start showing up without any effort. Now, this can seem impossible to those of us who believe that we have to engage in constant doing to get what we want in life, to get the simple things that we need in life, like a roof over our head or clothes on our back or food or relationships that are peaceful every day of our lives, all of our life, where we just have not only the mood of loveless within ourselves, but we actually have relationships with people where everyone is living in this mood of bliss. Every day I get emails from the Great Freedom Center in Europe, and people write, "We are so happy to live here. We never knew that life could be like this. We're all living here together in total peace and harmony. What you say is true." Now, one man who'd been living in an ashram in India for about 30 years, and then he was somewhere here in the U.S., and I work very closely with him on our book projects, and I said, "Go to the Great Freedom Center in Europe and live there." And he wasn't quite sure, well, you know, is this what I should do? And he had a lot of ideas about that, but he did. He ended up going. So now he writes every email. He's been there for a while, a couple months, I think. "Oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I never knew life could be so good." So you see, when we rest as awareness, it's really incredibly important. Short moments of awareness repeated many times do become automatic. But if we can allow ourselves that, it's very, very good. But if we can also allow ourselves to really live in this mood of love and bliss with other people, it's unparalleled. And most people living today, it's unlikely that they'll ever have that in their life. So when you do have the opportunity for this, you're a very lucky person, a very, very lucky person. I just can't tell you how lucky you are. Now, when we travel around the world and have teachings in other places, we have in our teachings in India every year, many thousands of people come to those teachings, and people are primarily attracted by this mood of openness and welcoming and hospitality and connection. Unbiased connection that is so obvious. That is what really attracts people first, not what they hear. They see people who really care about them in a genuine, relaxed way, where there aren't any trips going on at all. There's just the great equality that is present and so attractive and compelling. People feel that. They heart feel that, and they're attracted to it because it's what they've always wanted. And so to come into this sense of total community first with yourself, within yourself, is the creation of complete harmony within yourself, just allowing yourself to be as you are. You could think of yourself as a community of points of view. You yourself are a community of points of view. And so you've trained yourself just by looking at what other people are doing and doing what they do. You've trained yourself to identify yourself as that community of points of view. And you haven't known, perhaps, about awareness. You've never been told about how to train yourself in identification with awareness. You don't have to worry about your community of individualized points of view at all. Nothing needs to be done about those. All you need to do is identify with awareness. By identifying awareness, you automatically disidentify with belief in points of view. So you see, nothing has to be done about the points of view, nothing whatsoever. This is just the way it is. You each, no matter who you are listening to this all over the world, you have your own points of view, whatever they are. Those are your awareness reflecting the circumstances of your life. However, the basis of your life is awareness. It's not the points of view. The points of view can never be an identity because they don't have any independent juice. They have no power. They have no juice or life force, separate or apart from awareness. This life force that we have within us, the life force of total connection, which is what we experience so powerfully when we feel the pleasure of what most of us call sexual arousal, is pervasive of everything. And when we train in awareness, identification with awareness, we may notice that this presence of what we formerly called sexual arousal is just present as the pleasure of everything that is. So you see, it's important to really understand what's going on. This pleasure pervades everything. It's not something that's overly specialized to an individual and their need to connect with another individual. That if you really want to have an incredible sexual meeting, it's going to require that both people be confident in awareness and really understand the purpose, the meaning, and the import of the sexual nature, which is really the life force of pleasureful connection with everyone and everything that's naturally inherent in awareness. And so, you know, never be confused about that. There isn't any point of view that needs to be shied away from. Identify with awareness, don't focus on the point of view. If you have maddening points of view, remain as you are in awareness. If you have totally pleasureful points of view, remain as you are in awareness. If you have indifferent points of view, remain as you are in awareness. All of the points of view whatsoever resolve in awareness. And when it comes to your own points of view, those of you who are involved in the 12 Inquiries Intensive right now, today you're going to be sharing your principal points of view very openly with others in the 12 Inquiries meeting. And so this is an extremely powerful experience because it's likely you'll be sharing things you haven't shared before. Or if you have shared them, you've looked at them as a matter of psychology or some kind of psychotherapeutic process. And so now you're openly sharing all your points of view as appearances of awareness. And in this way, you get to see how much you are like everyone else. Again, when we're in India and we have people coming from all the continents of the world to the teachings there, in the 12 Inquiries Intensives are very, very large, and they're filled with people from all over the world. And it is incredible to see all the people of the world from all the different cultures seeing how alike they are, just in terms of being expressions of awareness with incidental circumstantial points of view appearing, however they are for any particular one. So this is a very powerful source of connection and coming together. There's no more powerful source of connection and coming together. And so to just trust from the very beginning, to make the 100% commitment to short moments of awareness until it becomes continuous at all times. And don't even worry about any kind of goal of it becoming continuous at all times. That's just a point of view too. Everything is already present right here in the pure presence of the here and now. all the power and force of wisdom, love, compassion, incredible insight, and incredible skill. All of that is naturally present right here. And in awareness, in that pervasive mood of blissful awareness, there is no wanting points of view. There's no getting points of view. There's no keeping points of view. And there's no losing points of view. There's just the spontaneous, open, pure presence of the self-releasing here and now without any descriptions. So all of this is what you become confident in short moments of awareness repeated many times until it becomes automatic. It will become automatic. Those short moments will become automatic. You can count on it. And if you keep up the short moments, you won't be able to avoid the automatic. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who haven't seen it, we have a new website that went up yesterday. And so we have a new animation on the front page, flash animation, that's going to be further developed with other of our metaphors that we use. And just the animation itself is a teaching. So every word on our website and every image is meant to be an extremely powerful teaching. Now, also, if you go to the homepage menu and click Great Freedom Global Community, or you go to Sharings and click Music Video, you'll see our music video. We're producing a series of music videos, and this is the first one. These are music videos about awareness and people who are part of the Great Freedom Teaching worldwide appear in these videos and in the music video. And you'll be seeing a lot more of those, and we're going to put them up on YouTube along with the edited versions of some of the talks. The music videos are a very powerful teaching too. And so just as an example, we have in one of the videos, there a large group of people in India spell out rest with their bodies on a lawn. And then that's part of the video. There's an image of that that's taken from up on high. And then there's music and wonderful lyrics. And we'll be having continued development of this very powerful medium of teaching and conveying the Great Freedom Teaching. It's important that teachings not be overcomplicated or oversimplified. In order to really hit the mark, they have to be just right. And so the direct teachings of short moments repeated many times is that kind of teaching. It hits the mark. It always hits the mark. It never misses the mark with unnecessary doing. And so you see, no matter what people, places, or things come into your life or leave your life, awareness is continuous throughout all of your life. This is what you can really count on. Why is this important? Well, at death, you lose all control of any kind of points of view that are appearing. They could be just anything, just like in dreams at night. And so even though you might want to hold on to a certain image of a certain person who's important to you, it's very likely you won't be able to do that. And so if you've learned to train in awareness, then you are able to identify the fundamental condition of the transition of death and all of its points of view, all of the unknowable at this point points of view that will appear there. And you're able to find yourself in the blissful place that you've been living in already during your life, And just by maintaining that blissful place, you'll be able to maintain it without any doing whatsoever. It'll be self-maintained, but you won't be afraid of it because you're familiar with it. If it just appeared all of a sudden and you had no familiarity with it, you might say, oh, you know, where are my Twinkies? Where's my Diet Coke? Or, you know, whatever you think has given you satisfaction. Or, you know, where's my special person that I need to visualize at this time? When there's just the blaze of the loveless light of naked awareness, and you've trained in that during your life, you're confident in it and familiar with it, then you're not afraid of it at the point of death. It isn't too much for you. You don't feel overwhelmed by it. The dissolution of any kind of personal identity is easy for you because you're already completely familiar with it and confident in it. And then you can just remain as you are in blissful rest and emanating good for all beings, emanating benefit for all beings. That's your natural disposition throughout your entire life, at death and after death. Your disposition, your true disposition, never changes. And so you see death too as a point of view. It's a point of view appearing within the blissful mood of awareness. These are just some suggestions that I'm offering if you would like to have a wonderful life. And not only is it a suggestion, but it's my advice. And your life can be everything you want it to be. Know that. It really can be. And your life can be a circumstance of effortless living, effortless connection, effortless intimacy, and effortless ease. And all of this comes about by short moments, repeated many times. It's a treasure trove of wish-fulfilling gems. So think of awareness as a treasure trove, and points of view as wish-fulfilling gems. If we believe in points of view, then that will be the wish-fulfilling gem. If we believe in all our thoughts and emotions and experiences and sensations, then that will be our wish-fulfilling gem. But we'll be overlooking the true gold, the true precious gem that has no kind of estimable value. We'll be completely overlooking that if we try to gather up all these points of view and hoard them. The precious basis of everything is that which fulfills all wishes. And from the first moment of gaining confidence and awareness, you see that that's true. You see that this is something really unique and special. And that's what attracts you back to it again and again. Just know that the more you rely on awareness, the easier your life will be in every respect. If you try to complicate your life with lots of other things, then it'll just be complicated with all those other things. But know that if you want it, the teaching of short moments many times is always available to you. With a 100% commitment, it is guaranteed to become continuous at all times. And you can also share community with other people who are committed to the same simple precept. So that's what your life can be like if you want it to be. And you don't even have to want it to be, just short moments many times, and you will want it to be. Because it just is natural for it to be that way. Now, you know, even some nasty people, nasty little people or nasty big people come to the Great Freedom Teaching. None of you are like that or were when you got here, but some people are, little kids or adults, and, you know, they've just adopted a point of view of nasty. That's their thing. You know, their circumstantial reflection is nasty. And belief in nasty is, it feels good, you know, to them. Somehow it's giving them some kind of comfort. But the same thing works there, short moments many times. And really, that even that is not necessary. If you just listen to the downloads with an open mind, then you'll find yourself resting for short moments anyway, without trying to do so. Some people just listen without the short moments, and everything opens up as a glowing expanse of equalness. And so you see people come, and some people are incapable of resting for short moments because they're too wrapped up in being nasty. They don't want to hear about the Great Freedom Teaching. Or we always say the same thing. Just keep turning up. Keep coming back. It's okay. Just keep coming back here. You can sit in the back with your arms folded and a look of total contempt and disdain on your face. We don't care. You know? Your points of view can't hurt us. Yeah, we know what it's all about. Even if you're fooled, we're not. And so, you know, just keep coming back. And then after a while, you see the arms, they kind of relax. And the person sits up in their chair, you know, and they might crack a little smile once in a while. And yeah, so you see, there's no big deal in awareness. There's no big deal whatsoever. And there's never any reason to be out of connection with anyone. There really isn't. It's just like if you feel out of connection with someone or you're afraid to talk to them or whatever it might be, then what an opportunity. You know, what an opportunity. If you're afraid somebody's just going to rail on you and start screaming and yelling at you, then how's that going to affect awareness? It doesn't affect your awareness and it doesn't affect theirs. So what are you afraid of? In that situation, to just remain as you are is going to be a very, very powerful opening in awareness for you if you're afraid of angry people. Now, when I was growing up, I became afraid of angry people. And I didn't react with anger, but I had a lot of other clever strategies of manipulating situations so that to either kind of quell the anger or rearrange the circumstances so that the angry people wouldn't take over the peaceful people. And I was very good at that too, creating distractions. But then, you know, in terms of awareness, gaining confidence in awareness, I found out there weren't any angry people to be afraid of. No one's anger could do anything to awareness anywhere, no matter what happened. And so I found myself in a few situations with people who were just going off, you know, either at me or someone else, and nothing happened. Nothing happened, you know. I was able to just say, well, I don't like to see you doing this to yourself. You know, a true moment of connection. Or I don't see you this way at all. So you see, there's nothing to be afraid of or nothing to not want to hear. Any of these opportunities you have for a short moment of awareness are very valuable. They're very, very valuable. And they're exceedingly powerful, because then you see you can be in all situations without impediment, no matter what they are. Any kind of mood that overtakes you, if you get into a situation and you feel less than other people, or nervous and uneasy or angry or sad or depressed or whatever your particular thing is. In awareness, there is no fear. Awareness is fearless. Short moments, many times in these situations, are exceedingly powerful, because you begin to really stand tall as you are. You stand tall in your own blissful place, unable to be ruffled by circumstances. Okay? Now, sometimes when we think about awareness and gaining confidence in awareness, what first attracts us to that is self-benefit. We want to benefit ourselves. We don't want to be distracted by points of view like we have been. And we desperately want this self-benefit. However, by the power of awareness, we come to see that its mood of bliss and love and compassion and wisdom is one of the welfare of all beings. So whereas we start out with all our own personal points of view, and we don't want to be suffering so much pain from those points of view, or alternating pleasure and pain, and we want self-benefit, we want to feel better ourselves, we very quickly go beyond that as our disposition and motivation. We see that there's something extraordinarily powerful about us that we've never recognized before, and that is our tremendous capacity to be of benefit, not only to ourselves, but to everyone. And this is inherent in awareness. Awareness is a mood of the welfare of everyone. So we notice then that our thoughts and emotions start to shift. Instead of being thoughts and emotions about us and centered on self, increasingly our thoughts and emotions are about the welfare of everyone. And this happens without us doing anything, just by maintaining awareness. And so where we may start out wanting to be in some kind of rarefied state where we'll just feel better, we find that what we imagined awareness to be isn't what it is at all. It's much more magnificent than what we had imagined.